Let it. Let...
John, fucked up now. Now.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to hear. All right. Yeah, I love that song. How's it going, everyone? Tom McCaffrey, I'm here with Eric B., LE2B. Rate and review this podcast. Join our Patreon.
Yeah, that song, you got me into that one.
Yeah, that was Eminem, and that was the song, The Sauce, which was his diss rap against Benzino, mm-hmm. who was one of the co-owners of The Source magazine, and who went after Eminem. I think it was like 2003 or two, and he attacked Eminem, saying he was kind of like he called him the hip hop Hitler.
Yeah.
Because he was saying he was a white guy. You know, he really went after his whiteness, saying he was appropriating black music.
Yeah. And I actually saw some documentary about the 90s about The Source magazine. It was kind of interesting about how much power they had for a long time. And then there was another magazine that kind of fucked him up a little bit. Was it Vibe? Not Vibe. It was
Double XL.
No, it was one that Quincy Jones started, I think.
I think that's Vibe.
Vibe, okay, yeah.
What did you, yeah, and, yeah. This,
well, the documentary also was interesting because they said that that's the magazine Vibe, I think, was the magazine that really juiced up the East Coast, West Coast battle, that they kind of, it sold copies for them, so they would always pump up stories in that magazine. And The Source didn't do that, even though they had that incident at the awards where they were all yelling at.
Oh, right. It kind of started there.
Yeah. But it was really the Vibe that magazine was antagonizing.
Yeah, I remember they had on the cover that infamous cover where it's Biggie and Puffy and it says East versus West.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy Dave Mays started it. And he was like some Harvard guy who was really into hip hop. And he just started like a newsletter. And then the guy Benzino was a rapper and he was shitty and he was like some gangster guy and he's on like some reality show now and he really went hard after Eminem. And do you remember the thing? They did a thing where they unearthed some like racist song Eminem, like an old tape of Eminem saying something bad about black women. And they made an entire issue around it. Like they had him on the cover and then they had like in the issue, they had a CD with the just a portion of the song of him saying the racist thing.
Oh, that's so, geez. Wow. Yeah. That's yeah, so they no really wonder he wrote that song. Him. Yeah.
They really went after him. And I don't know. It just sort of went away. I mean, Eminem kind of kills him in his songs, but like that song is the one that kind of goes after him.
Right. And that's the one song where he's like, I'm 30 and you're pushing 40. Remember he would always do songs about how young he was. It was like, and then that guy
right,
got
now
him.
He's 50.
Then that guy,
I think about that a lot.
Yeah. What's his name? Hit him. Right. This rapper.
Everlast.
No, the white rapper. What's his name?
Oh, MGK?
No. What's he's
Machine
got like
Gun an, Kelly?
Machine Gun Kelly. He
Yeah.
He was saying now you're old, like he was doing it to him.
Yeah. He's like, M, you're pushing 50 or something like leave the battling to 50, you're pushing 50.
Yeah.
Something. The real Slim Shady can't stand up. You know, something about his knees being weak. It is funny, they always go after that. That's the thing. They always go after how old they are, but it's like,
well, let me ask you right now.
You're all like, going to get old.
You know, like right now, because that song is really good, but it's kind of very specific. So he couldn't perform that live now. He'd have to change the lyrics.
Which one? This new one? Or
no,
the one
sauce.
You just played?
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, because he's so old.
He'd have to change the lyrics and go,
I know, it's funny.
50, but you're 72, you know?
Right. I'm 50. You're 55. Once you get to past 50, it's just, but as a rapper, it's insane that he's still rapping. I mean, that's an amazing thing about him. He's still rapping relevant at 50.
Yeah. Did you think he was good at the, so the Hall of Fame, he got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I just watched it. Did you think he was good on it?
Well, I mean, you're talking to a fucking, you're preaching to the choir here. I've been a fan of his since it was his second album that I really didn't like him at first when that first big album came out. But so I watch it and it's cool because they do the whole they show like video clips through his career, you know, and it is amazing like how much stuff he accomplished and how big he was. And then when he performed, you know, it's funny. I thought he was good, but you can tell. I remember I noticed on the Oscars, like his voice is different. It's like not as
right.
It seems a little weaker now. Do you know
what
I
lower.
Mean?
It's lower. Yeah. I just also watched Disney on the Disney Channel. They had Elton John's like one of his last performances. You know, he's old, so he can't really sing anymore. You know,
I saw him. Yeah. This last tour.
Oh, you did?
Okay. Yeah.
He can't hit high notes. Then I watched some old videos of him like from the 70s in concert. He would be running around. He was a great performer. He'd be running around, really hitting the high notes, you know?
One thing I did notice, I was watching with my girlfriend, and she loves Eminem, and I kind of noticed he's wearing something, and I was like, he looks kind of fat. Like he looked like he kind of had a gut. Did you notice that? And she was like, I didn't want to say anything. Did you notice that?
No.
She was like, yeah, I didn't want to say that. I'm like, yeah, he looks like a little, he looks fine. Like he looks good. It's just like the first time that I thought his performance was good. He did a lot of the, you know, big songs. That
which songs did he do? He did again? A lot of,
well, he did Rap God, which I think was sort of a flex because that's the one that he has like a really fast part in that is really hard to do live.
Yeah, that's what I saw. That
the one where he's like, some little, you were someone, you did like one of the fastest for like parts of rapping of all time. And then he did Forever, which is a song he did with like Drake, where he has a really good verse. And then,
he did the one with that has a sample from the Dido song. Yeah.
Yeah, Stan. I thought it was great. I mean, you know, his speech was kind of cool because he just, you know, everyone attacked that. That's I always admired him because, you know, I his biography was always really interesting to me. He had a really hard time because he was a white guy trying to get into rap. And so he got rejected by every label. This is the thing. I think I've talked to you about this, where whenever someone is great or becomes huge, they're always like, no one wanted to sign me and no one liked anything I did.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, I think it's need to re-examine who these guys working at these record labels are because like none of them seem to know what's good. The fact that like Eminem got turned down by everyone ever is insane.
The Beatles got turned down by a couple of places. I mean.
And I think I've said it's like, I'm not an A&R executive, but I feel like if the Beatles came in and played me the White Album, I'd be like, I don't really know much about music. This seems pretty good, though. I think we should like give these guys a chance. But what is it that the same thing with movies? Whenever you see the Oscar winning movie, they're always like, no one wanted to do it. We took it to every studio, you know, and it's always like, you know, Brad Pitt will be in the movie or produce the movie. And they're like, no one wanted to do it. And it's like, what do you mean? No one wanted to make a movie with Brad Pitt that won an Oscar? It's kind of funny to me that. So that's what I thought when he was saying, you know, no one wanted to sign him except for Dr. Dre.
You know, sometimes you can't predict because I was watching this documentary they had about Love Actually. I don't know if it was like they interviewed all the people 20 years later. I like that movie. It's a corny movie, but I like it. But they were saying,
don't you always make fun of me for liking Star Is Born?
No, Love Actually is better than Star Is Born. Love Actually has some.
Yeah, but I mean, you say that
it.
That's like a gay movie to. I mean, Love Actually, that's
all right. So
that's
everyone's
not
allowed
gay to like that.
Where everyone gets one. Everyone gets one.
Okay,
but one of the actors, because it was like Keira Knightley is one of her first big movies, you know. And one of the actors was like, "All I remember is I was talking to Keira Knightley, and she was like." He's like, what's your next movie? She's like, I'm in this movie with pirates. You know, it's probably going to bomb because pirate movies never do well. And
that worked out.
Yeah.
She thought, again, it's like Star Wars. When they made Star Wars, George Lucas was, first of all, no one wanted to make it. And then George Lucas apparently met with Spielberg. They had watched the screening and he was like, it sucks.
Yeah.
Lucas was like, it sucks. He's like, if it makes $15 million, I'll be happy.
They were laughing at the previews of that movie, I heard.
Star Wars?
Yeah. They would before the movie came out, they would show previews and people would be laughing in the crowd.
I actually remember when I saw the preview for Die Hard the summer. It was coming out and people laughed at it because when they said Bruce Willis, because Bruce Willis was not
star
yet. Yeah. And he was just the guy from Moonlighting. And it was just, I remember that specifically. They were like, Bruce Willis. And people were like, ah! And, you know, that made his, but yeah, it's that thing. So, you know, actually, if anyone's listening, you know, whoever's listening, you know, because this did occur to me because being in a, you know, being creative, you're getting rejected and people are kind of like, you know, I don't know, not appreciating what you do or liking what you do or insulting it. I when I think about things like that, how, you know, Eminem or these, like the Beatles or all these people, like people were, who were supposed to be the experts,
right,
at the industry, were telling them they're bad. It's just kind of insane. So when I think about when someone's like, oh, you're bad, or I'm like, really? Like,
I can understand the Eminem thing a little bit. And this is what my theory on it is, that you remember before he got big, the white rappers, there were some big ones, but they were like kind of one-offs. They were one-hit wonders, and that they were not respected in the black community. And I understand why black people don't like white rappers, because of what happened years ago in the 1950s, where the blacks created rock and roll and the whites just stole the music. And
yeah,
you know, so they were sensitive. So I think,
you're right. I remember that, is a big reason why, because of Vanilla Ice kind of ruined. Ice. That's how bad Vanilla Ice was, that he ruined rapping for white people. He like killed the whole genre for white people.
You know how mad, you know, his song was the first number one rap song on Billboard. You know how much that fucking hurt? Like, black people were pissed about that.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. Like, Tone Loc almost got it. He went to number two.
Yeah.
So that would have been, you know, something. But
I was already into rap and hip hop at that point. So when I was in college at the time, and like Ice Ice Baby came out, I was in Dallas and everyone was like, oh, Ice. And he was like from Dallas. And they were like, yeah. And I thought that song was good, but.
Yeah, because it was a Queen song.
Yeah, because it was another song. But I think I tried to, first of all, I thought he was such a loser. He looked like such a loser. He like dressed so weird. He wore like American flag outfits. Remember? Like, I was definitely someone who, like, I was like, this guy's a fucking idiot. And then I heard a couple of the other songs and I was like, this guy sucks. So I definitely was not.
Yeah, I never really liked him. And then he had the follow-up song, which was basically, I think it was Play That Funky Music, but it was just,
yeah.
I'm like, this guy doesn't have, he's just doing other people's songs, you know?
I mean, not that that hadn't been, I mean, a lot of people were doing that, but he definitely didn't add much to. It's weird because Ice Ice Baby is a good song. I know it's because of the Queen thing, but his rapping on it is pretty good.
Oh, okay.
It's weird how he kind of, he sucked, but he somehow found a way to make one good song. You know, like, I still listen when I hear that song. I will listen to it. I've done it at karaoke.
Oh, really? But I think it was very important for white rappers to get the respect in the black community. And Eminem, I guess, kind of got that probably because he was with Dre, you know, and that helped a lot.
That was a huge. That was like when I first saw him, I was like, oh, Dr. Dre. Well, this must be like, it totally vouching for him was like such a huge, but, so that's what was interesting about it. Like, I think partly I was like, what, Dr. He's just like some white guy. He's not like, I hated that My Name Is song. I didn't like
it. Yeah.
And then the second album I got, and I was like, oh, this is like, that's when I kind of was like, that Marshall Mathers LP, I was in LA at the time. I just listened to it like nonstop. It was
that's what I thought. In his first album, that first song, to me seemed like a kind of a joke song. You know, it was like a very not. It was like a novelty song. Yeah, it was like a novelty song. So I kind of wrote him off right off the bat because I'm like, this is, you know, it reminded me of like Will Smith's fucking songs. You know, the early ones. It just seemed
There was something, you know, that first album is pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know a lot of their songs, though.
No, Eminem, I mean, is that what you're?
Yeah, on that album, I didn't know a lot of their songs.
It's like I got it later. What's interesting is the second one is there's like a huge leap in terms of the second one is when he's like mad in the rapping, where he has that kind of like,
not goofy,
that angst. Like behind it, that's the kind of, I think, made me more interested in him. And he got more like vulnerable and personal. And he would just rap about it. Like, he seemed more angry after he became successful, which is kind of what I found fascinating.
Don't you think the Beastie Boys' first album was kind of like okay, but they got better as they went along? Like that,
they did, but I still, but I do like that album. I think the first album is really better than the first Eminem album. I mean, I love that first.
Right. There was better songs on that album, but Fight for Your Right to Party, that's kind of lame.
That's shit. Yeah. That's the worst one. But It's weird because they got better, but like a different way. Eminem, that was what I loved about him, is like he seemed to keep getting better. He was great. Mm-hmm. And then like he did another album and it was great. And then he did like the Lose Yourself song. And then he he was doing these diss. I just started finding like, you know, I still find songs that he's just on. It's not his song. It's like he'll do a verse and they're like insane to me. Like they're just.
Yeah, I like the songs he was doing with Rihanna. Didn't he do a couple of them?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, that Love the Way You Lie and
The Monster.
But I just love how like I think it's just he seemed really. I don't know if you have the. He's one of those. You probably have this with other artists where like whenever he does a song, a lot of times it feels like it's like he's talking directly to me. It's like exactly the experience I've had.
Oh wow.
And the thing is, I was like, I've had that so much with him, but that's why he's so big, because so many people are having that exact experience. You know, like, you know, like Catcher in the Rye. Have you read that?
Yeah, of course.
Right. But like, that's another one that when I read that, I was like, oh my God, this is like me.
I think everyone got that from that book.
But
really.
That's insane. Why? Like, what is it about that resonates with like almost everyone that reads it?
Right.
The alienation, because I think it's like Eminem had so much anger and was so honest about his struggles and I loved how his story became he struggled and everything was really hard and he made it and he was like, yeah, fuck all of you. Like that was such a cool story to me. Like that's why I loved his attitude, because he was like, he took his weaknesses and he made them his strengths, which is like kind of one of the most. So when I was watching that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing, I'm a big fan of his, but when I was watching the clips and then him, I remember I had a moment. I was like, how could anyone not like this? Like, how could anyone not like this guy's story? It's such an amazing, and he's like humble, and he's like, he just listed off all the rappers that influenced him. And he's never been disrespectful to the, you know, to the genre of rap or like culture. So whenever people try and attack him, I feel like it's one of those things when someone's so great at something, someone has to find something to like try and go after them.
Of course, but that's always happens. But I want to bring up for a second, because there was another part of it in it where John Mellencamp came out. He did he was bringing up some lawyer who helps out rockers and stuff.
You know Jewish who that guy. Is? You, remember the chick who like ran over the people in the Hamptons?
No.
That's her dad.
No, it's not. Grubman, right?
Is Lizzie Grubman's dad.
Wow. Well, they all the stars. Apparently, I have to reread about them, but I guess, you know, artists would always get screwed over for all those years by the record companies. And this guy, I guess, was like a shark and fucking really, because all these people were saying great things about Bono and fucking Bruce Springsteen, you know?
I know. It was interesting because it was like all these artists and all of a sudden they like brought up this like Jewish lawyer guy.
Yeah. But I think that also plays. So first of all, John Mellencamp did it like a full throated condemnation of anti-Semitism because of what's going on these days with all that stuff. But it almost looking at that guy and then hearing his story, he was probably like a shark. He was probably like a tough bastard, you know, but you want a guy like that working for you. But a guy like that is also the kind of person why some people hate Jews, right? Because they think maybe we're pushy or whatever. I think that's part of it.
Yeah.
I know Kanye today, I saw a little bit, he was on InfoWars with Alex Jones and that
Which
Nazi.
Is already, like, how did that not go well?
And for some reason, Kanye, you couldn't see his face. He was wearing a mask over his face, just like a black mask. He's out of his mind.
What is going on with him? This is like one of the craziest. He's just, I mean, I know this has been going on where people are like, oh, he's lost touch. It's like, but there's like losing touch. And then there's like whatever is happening with him. It's just, it's like kind of watching. It's a very clear indication of how hip hop and rap, the culture has changed since like the 90s. Cause like, it reminds me of the Tupac meltdown, but Tupac's was like he was losing his mind in a way that like was going to end violent. It was in like violent ways.
Right.
So he lost it. And that's what rap, the culture was. It was more violent and dangerous. Now it's like the rappers will like become anti-Semites and go on racist rants. It's a weird.
Yeah. And I think with him, and it's like, and people saying, oh, you know, being crazy is not an excuse to be anti-Semitic. And I actually disagree with that. Because I think when you're crazy, you believe a lot of conspiracy theories and stuff. And Jews are basically, they tie us into everything. So, and that's what the point I was going to make is I was talking to another comic about this the other day. Why a lot of people weren't really coming out to defend Jews. I mean, some people were, you know, but it's kind of really because a lot of people think when it's all about punching up and punching down. And I feel like it's even on stage. That's why I don't do a lot of Jewish jokes, because if you're a black guy or a gay guy on stage and you do jokes like that, you'll kind of get some easier laughs because people feel a little guilty, you know, and they'll laugh. Not necessarily when you're Jewish, because they consider us punching up, like we right. run the world. Not we don't. I mean, we run some things, but I mean, at least I don't. So I wish I did. But I think that's why people don't have a problem hitting Jews, because people feel like that we're not the underdogs.
I guess so. I mean,
I think it's a big part of it.
I'm not used to it. I mean, I grew up in New York, so
I know that's. But
it just seems like an odd. Why do you think it's coming back with such a vengeance? Obviously it was always there, but right. and it just now it has like more of a voice. But what's scary about it now is it seems so much. It's becoming so normal.
Well, this is why it's really Trump becoming president, because a lot of his supporters are, you know, white nationalists. Also QAnon, and if you read all the theories of that QAnon has, they're all like old Jewish tropes that they've just changed a little bit. You know, they used to say that Jews ate babies, you know, now they just say Democrats or they'll say they'll use that one word, globalists. That's the one that they use a lot. Globalists, you just switch that out for Jews. That's when they say the globalists are running the world. It's the nice way to say Jews, you know, or if you say like coastal elites, you know, that when they say that.
Yeah.
And there they're either saying Jews or gays. Right. So you can say those things. Like Republicans can say coastal elites and it's a dog whistle and their supporters are like, oh, we know who you're talking about. They go, oh, the coastal elites in New York and San Francisco, they're not like me and you. So what are they saying? You know, they're saying Jews and gays, you know?
Well, why is it having so much power now? Is it like, cause they're, you know, like Nick Fuentes guy, he's always saying, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, they're so obsessed with it being a Christian nation. Yeah. Like they're obsessed with Christianity, and I guess they think this whole religion movement,
the whole thing is they all love Israel but they hate Jews.
Why do they love it? How does that
because
make
I
sense,
think in evangelicals, at the end of the world everyone's going to go to Israel or something like that, and I don't know.
Wait, did you hear what Kanye said on that show today?
No, I watched for a minute a clip. And he was saying, talking about how Hitler wasn't so bad.
Well, here, I'll play a little. I did an interview with him.
Okay.
That up and maybe repair your public image.
I do love Hitler.
Are you sure you want to say that?
So he said.
What was that?
I did a fake interview with me. I intercut him saying he said he loves Hitler. That's insane that he said, I love Hitler. And then later he says, there's a lot of good things about Hitler or something. I don't know what. I always knew he was crazy, but it seemed a little. He was just kind of loopy like 6 years ago. But
yeah.
What do you think it, and the other thing is, you know, he, in this interview, he's like, well, I love everyone. He's still so not over the Pete Davidson thing. It's like so insane. I think he just, that drove him crazy. Cause he's like, you know, and then Kim like, yeah, all right, fine. You want to like have sex with Pete Davidson in front of the fire? Fine. Yeah. Just, you know, and it's just like, wait, what are you doing? You're still like talking about Pete Davidson?
And didn't he just recently say that he's part Jewish? I thought that I read something about that.
Kanye?
No, Pete Davidson.
Maybe.
So that might be driving this a little bit. Let me see. I think he found.
He's so mad at Pete Davidson that like he turned him into an. But it's weird because it's just with every day, he's just this new level that's insane.
Yeah, I mean, I think that his, I don't know. To me, it seems like it's going to just, his father, Pete Davidson's dad was predominantly Jewish ancestry. What? So his dad was Jewish?
Okay.
So I don't know if anyone's even made this connection, but if that is the case, that might really be fucking driving his insanity right now.
I feel like a lot of it that's behind it is his not being able to handle that dissolution of that marriage, like her leaving him. And I'm like, barely. I feel like a lot of times in life, it'll be things like that that like will ruin someone, like a guy.
And I think I know why. You know who's actually dating Kim Kardashian now? Woody Allen. So he's probably really mad at the Jews now.
Yeah, I was gonna. Isn't she dating? I'm trying to think of some. That was the best example.
She's a little too
isn't
young.
Isn't she dating a yarmulke now? She's dating a dreidel.
Yeah, that'd be somebody. Kim Kardashian's new boyfriend is the Torah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't fucking it's fascinating to watch. Like, the fact that you get to a point where someone is saying point, because there's been times in the past where someone will say something kind of anti-Semitic, like like in rap or it'll be like a weird recording of it that wasn't like they weren't supposed to be recording and be like the Jewish man will always say, and this was like I love Hitler. It's just like that's how is that not just the end of everything? There's a soundbite now forever out there saying, I love Hitler. I mean, now me too, but I'm quoting. But and then he has the weird mask on, and it's like, so we're not supposed to think you're out of your fucking mind. You're wearing a mask during an interview.
Was it like a ski mask with no holes? It looked like I couldn't tell what that
it
was.
It looked like a stocking or something. It's just like you can't. He's also like lost his mind in terms of fashion. He keeps wearing these, like, I saw him wearing like an American flag jacket. And I mean, to go back to Vanilla Ice, I mean, that wasn't a great look.
Yeah.
The American flag jacket. I mean, it's.
What do you think? I think I brought this up before, but what do you think is doing more? Him, Kanye West in 2022, or Charlie Sheen in 2012? Who's doing more harm to themselves?
I think Kanye West, because I think Charlie Sheen did hurt himself, but it was more entertaining. And I think people were more like, oh, my God, that look. First of all, that I feel like that was the first time that happened in terms of a public meltdown on the internet where everyone had access to it, where it became like this thing that kept going on day by day. There was like a new thing. I think it was more entertaining to people, and it was more like he was just kind of like a funny character because he was saying these like insane things.
Winning,
and I think people thought people thought he was just going to die. It became like this like train wreck in real time. Like I really remember being like, oh my God, he's going to like die. There's no way out of this.
That's what I thought what might happen with Kanye. But, Charlie Sheen, a lot of it, he was tweeting out stuff, and that was like the first of that. Now, with Twitter, though, it's like a cesspool. I'm still on it, and I'm looking at fucking Elon Musk. He's like the new fucking Charlie Sheen on that.
Twitter. I ask? So you're on Twitter, so I am too, but I'm not. So what is different about it? It is weird because it does feel different, but what is it? I can't put my finger on what is different.
Well, they're not throwing people off anymore, and they let a lot of bad people back on, and they're not. You can now spread COVID misinformation. It's not going to be labeled misinformation. You could just say.
Only thing I will say about it seems like not relevant anymore. Like that seemed to happen like immediately. It seems like everyone knows it's a shit show now.
I know, but apparently from what I heard and what some people think why he's trying to destroy it is a lot of countries still use it, and they use it to get information out there. If there's like a revolution or things like that, they use Twitter. Like I think Twitter has been right now banned in China because of all the problems they're having right now, but they will use a lot of that. And what they do now is they won't censor you for speaking out against your government. They'll just put more, like Russia would do that. They'll just put out misinformation so you don't know what the right answer is. That's like the new censorship in a way. Instead of censoring you, you're like, oh, you could put your tweet out about what's really going on. We're just going to flood the internet with bullshit so no one will know. And that's really what Twitter was. It was being fixed for a while, but now it's going to be again where it's like you won't know what's real anymore on Twitter.
The only thing I will say is, and I think it's a good thing, is like it is, things change so much now in like such short spans of time, like exponentially, that you could be three or four years ago is just so different than it is now. Yeah. So I feel like Twitter when it was at its most powerful was during the Trump era, and like it still did have a lot of relevance and power. And I feel like now it's still around and it is relevant, but I feel like people are more aware and more wary of stuff now. And I, yeah. for some reason, I, like its brand has been tarnished a lot.
Yeah.
yeah. And it feels very like when I go on it, I'm expecting a shit show. And I'm like, I'm not going on it to like anymore to like find out things. I'm like, it's almost like going back into like, I don't know, like a bad neighborhood or something. You're just kind of like, oh, what's going on here? Oh man, this looks bad. I'm getting out of here. So it's like, yeah, I think that's good, but it is amazing how it immediately just got the consensus now, I think, is that it's bad. It's not what it was.
Yeah.
So like with Trump being on it, I mean, I haven't heard anything about Trump's tweets since he's been back on.
No, he
remember
hasn't
how that was?
He hasn't tweeted. No, he hasn't tweeted yet,
but he's back
that's
on,
be a,
right?
They let him back on because it's be a big deal. See, the first tweet he ever tweets again means the end of Truth Social. That's his website. You know, it's his. What do you have a lot? And it's that place. That thing is crumbling soon. It's really crumbling.
Yeah,
because now they're letting everyone back on Twitter. So all the crazy people are going back on Twitter. But the second Trump tweets on Twitter, Truth Social's over because
yeah.
That's the only reason why people go on that.
It feels sort of like him going back on, or even his whole, you know, announcement for his run feels very much like, it feels sort of like when something was really popular and then some years go by and they try to bring it back. And it's like, yeah, like I remember Arrested Development was like this really good show that no one really, you know, wasn't paying attention to. It got canceled and people were like, oh man, it's so great. And then they brought it back on like 5 years later. And I was just like, yeah, I didn't even watch it. And I was a big fan. And it felt very like, yeah, that feels old. That doesn't feel like the thing. That's what it, and I think now, I mean, I know he still has his base and those crazies, but I don't know. He feels like not interesting.
Even when he was tweeting on Twitter during his presidency, Twitter wasn't really what it once was. It was really about how the press would cover his tweets. He would put out tweets. He was the president of the United States. He would just say some random shit. So the press was like, oh my God, we got to cover this, you know? And it would just be a crazy thing every fucking day. So it really wasn't as much as people following him as how the press just, it would became an instant news story.
And I feel like people don't care. And the press, they've definitely learned how to cover him, to not cover him. But
You say that now, but you know, like, oh, they're going to get rid of him. DeSantis is going to be the nominee.
No. They're not. I love when people are like, oh, they're finally like, no, they're never going to leave them. There's not. No. But I do think I don't know that he's I don't think he's as strong. I think that's what they feel. I think they're so sick of losing that that's the only reason that.
Yeah, but they're scared of him. You know, they're scared of him. And you know what? It's like if he doesn't get that nomination in 2024, he will burn the whole shit down. You don't think he will?
Good. I know. I'm hoping. I feel like he already has. Like,
no,
I don't...
that's, you know, you get these Republicans just fighting with each other. That's what's going to happen. If he doesn't get the nomination in 24, you know what he's going to do? He's going to run third party, you know, and then he'll split the vote and that'll be good for our team.
Yeah.
But he won't walk away quietly. You think he's going to lose the nomination to DeSantis or anybody? No fucking way. No.
I don't think DeSantis. I think everyone's like overestimating DeSantis. I mean, I don't think he has the charisma. I saw DeSantis in a debate against that guy and he just didn't seem very compelling or anything.
But you remember,
like people are like, hey, well, this guy's really racist too. Like, well, why can't we just, I love how they're just trying to replace him. Like, well, this guy, he's really racist too. So he's the new one.
But they always, the Republican Party's always had these guys. It was like, remember once it was Bobby Jindal, then it was Marco Rubio. And then when they put him under the big stage, they sucked. The one thing that Trump always had, was on TV for 30 years. He's good on TV.
I think people are overestimating DeSantis's.
Yeah.
On a bigger stage, on a bigger platform. But who knows? I don't know. Like maybe I don't think so though. I just don't think I didn't see it in that one debate. He didn't seem very like he wasn't like Trump would easily eat him alive.
Yeah. Oh,
on stage, which he's so fucking, you know, primed to do and he's going to do.
And not only that, when you remember Trump tried to do that with Biden, but then it kind of blew up in his face because the regular presidential debates are watched by everybody, you know, and cared about by everybody. The Republican debates, if you ever watched them, is who can be the most insane. So if you act like Trump in the Republican debate and you just fucking yell out shit and say, you're going to win. You know, when he was doing it against Biden, he looked like a fucking idiot because Biden wasn't taking the bait. So these guys are all going to try to out crazy each other. But can anyone out crazy Trump? Come on, nobody.
You're right. But I will say it's definitely going to be a different landscape and different game when because people forget. They're always like Trump, you know. They forget the whole lead up to what happened. Like he did kind of came out of he was famous, but he kind of came out of nowhere. No one took him seriously. It kind of remember that. I mean, like looking back on it, remember that whole like year where it was just like every week you were like, oh, well, that's it. It's over.
Yeah.
He just every week he did something. And then like it was just like it's not over. So.
Yeah. You never thought he would get the nomination. You're like, all right, he's going to lose one of these states soon. And someone else, and then just never happened.
But if
you look at the polls, I mean, they take the polls. Like, who do you want to be the Republican nominee? I mean, Trump is beating everyone handily. So,
and the thing is, I think that that's true. But I don't think it's not going to take. It's not coming out of nowhere anymore. Like people are like ready for it this time. It's kind of I'm trying to think of a good analogy, but there's been times where like something will kind of hit you at you weren't ready for and you weren't paying attention. And then when it seems like it's coming again, you're like, no, this time I'm not letting that shit happen. He doesn't have what he had before. He doesn't have the.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because like in the 2020 election, he was trying a lot of that stuff and it wasn't working as much, you know,
it wasn't really working. It was like the act was tired. And, you know, they're even saying it. The pundits, the right wing pundits are like, yeah, he just looks like listless. And that's the thing. It's not even like, you know, oh, we've turned on him morally. It's just like he looks boring now and he's not as dynamic as he was. I think he's tired and.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though. He's still capable of just burning everything down. He'll do it. He's an old man. He's got nothing else to live for.
What is his. I wonder why he like wants his legacy to just be. Like ruining the world. Like, I guess that's just a thing, but it's like weird. It's like, why?
He doesn't think he is. He thinks he's saving the world.
He does. I feel like he's just, it's so funny when that was happening, when he first got elected, I remember being like, oh, they're probably going to make like an HBO movie about him or maybe even a theatrical release. I feel like they're going to be making movies about this in like 50 years. This is going to be, just a huge historical landmark. It's, you know what I mean? It seemed like in 2016, it was going to be big, but this is like history now. Like, did you listen to Rachel Maddow's podcast? Ultra? Yeah,
with the most recent one.
Yeah.
Part of it.
It's just kind of about how this happened, you know, the whole anti-Semitism and, you know, basically what's happening with the Republican Party now, how there were people in Congress who were, sympathizing with the Nazis and wanted there was a Nazi faction in the government.
Yeah, they didn't want us to enter the war.
So, yeah, basically pulling for Nazis. it's, you know, one of the reasons she did it is to show that, you know, this is this whole anti-democracy. You know, they're it's the exact same way. The whole thing is they're saying America first and it's, you know, anti-democracy and anti-Semites. You know, the Ku Klux Klan, their slogan was basically America first.
Yeah.
So it's just, but it's scary, the parallels. It's just completely exactly
all
that's
by
happening.
Design. Like all those things Trump was using were like Bannon told him what to do. These are coded words and things, you know, make America great again. That's, you know, that also has connotations. Like, when was it great? Are you talking about the 50s? That's
right.
What, you know,
when like black people didn't have any rights. No, I mean, it's scary how it, you know, because you didn't where we were, you couldn't see that happening. So when it started to happen, you'd be like, wait a minute, no one would have the balls to say this just outright and they wouldn't get away with it. But that's what's scary is what they did. It was like a slow leak. And now with like Kanye and these people, the fact that. It's kind of like, oh, he's so crazy. Oh, Adidas doesn't like him anymore. It's like, but just think of the things that people are saying out loud now. And it's just like, that jerk, you know, but like you couldn't ever say anything like that. Like 10 years ago, it was just insane. So,
and I think some of it has the fault of the woke police where, you know, they made a lot of people feel like they should be canceled for just things they say. And people turn against that. So then they gravitate to someone like Kanye or Trump because, you know, they're doing what they want to do. It's just saying anything. It just happens to be the worst fucking.
Did you watch the Ghislaine Maxwell documentary? It just came out. It's pretty interesting. It's just, you know, basically about how she was like, she got convicted of, you know, being the coolest girlfriend ever. But do you know the story? I mean, it's horrible, girls. But it's insane the stuff that she was doing for. She's basically scouting high schools for chicks to bring back for her boyfriend to have sex with. I'm making light of it. I'm just making a joke, but it's insane. Like, why would she? Dated, you know, like, I couldn't even imagine even broaching that with a girl that I was dating, like having another, like, hey, can you like go to the high school and see if there's any like underage chicks that might just want to blow me in my room? Like, I mean, look, no pressure. Just, you know, if you're around a high school, just feel it out. You can have sex with them too.
Yeah. I don't want to make it weird. This is not weird. You think it's weird?
I don't want to make it creepy, but just, you know, if they're into it, like if someone wants to be a masseuse or something, but,
well, I got a question, cause I didn't see the doc, but she just got sentenced, right? She's going to jail, right?
Yeah. She got sentenced to 20 years.
Now, how the fuck? I thought she had names. I thought she, couldn't she weasel her way out? She wouldn't name names.
I don't know. I don't know how they don't. I feel like they have to have names. There's no way.
I mean, if I was her, I'd be like, I'll give you everything. What do you want? I'll make up names. You know, I don't fucking care. How do they, how did
you? I guess, like, I don't know. Maybe it's like they're, I don't know. That's a good, I was just watching the news and it's similar to the guy who, I think Greenberg is his name, who just got convicted in like the underage sex trafficking thing, that, you know, he was like basically Matt Gaetz's wingman.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, he basically got his sentence reduced, and he basically implicated Matt Gaetz in everything.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they're not going after Matt Gaetz. I don't know what. And they just had his lawyer on, the guy, this Greenberg guy, and he's like, I don't know what they're doing. I guess it's a harder case to prosecute. This DOJ, man, they fucking blow. You're not going to go after Matt Gaetz. Basically, the guy was like, oh, yeah, I saw Matt Gaetz having sex with a 17-year-old that was paid for from another state. I mean, it's like, okay, that should be the end.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to I think sometimes with congressmen, it's very hard to convict them because these congressmen also know where all the bodies are buried, so they could probably be like, hey, listen, you're going to take me down? I'm going to fucking, I know shit on other people. Maybe they use that as leverage.
I guess, but then, like, you know, you hear this fucking Garland idiot who's just like, no one is above the law. Like, what's even Matt Gaetz, a congressman, is above the law? I mean, what the fuck, man? I don't. The Ghislaine Maxwell, you should watch it, because I didn't know the depth of it. I didn't know what happens. It's really kind of funny and interesting is, you know, they're banging and then she's getting other chicks for him to bang or whatever. I don't know. And then it gets to a point where she's still doing it, but they're not having sex anymore because she basically like aged out of having sex with him. Basically his girlfriend became too old. He's like, look, you're too old for me to have sex with. Now, instead of us having sex and me with other chicks, why don't you just get chicks younger than you for me to have? And she still was doing it.
Right. But here's the one thing that we approach. It's a weird thing, but the one thing that you have to think is he is a billionaire. So
I know that does help.
But I heard stories about how that she would get girls to come over by giving him like $100. I'm like, dude, that's all. Like, he would spend like he's like, yeah.
Oh, no, they say like 200. They would spend like $200, which is more of an FU to the chicks, too. Like, yeah, I'm a billionaire. Hey, how about 200? It's like,
I mean, I guess they're desperate. Think
don't
about
you
it.
Own an island?
I mean, if I was walking on the street and they said 10 grand to jerk off Epstein, I'd be like, yeah, where's the car?
That's.
But if they said $75.
We've learned a lot about you this podcast. You basically would just give up anyone, make up names to get out of something and jerk off people. Believe me, I am the first. Like, whenever they would show those war movies where, you know, they capture someone and then they're like, they show them torturing them. They're like, tell us the location and name of your superior. And they're like, no, I would be like,
right when I fucking got captured. I'd be like, okay, so the main guy is this guy. This is the time he gets home. This is where he's going to be. They're like, we're not even at the torture place yet. Like, we're just driving you there. Like, no, yeah. I just want to get this out of the way.
I got the GPS. I'm going to set the for your location to find these people.
Right, like when the rappers don't snitch, when they're like, don't snitch, I would snitch, immediately when I... Because well, it's like, no, what?
No, well, it's funny because you ever hear of the Spanish Inquisition?
Yeah.
So what they would do is, like, there'd be Jews at the time, and they would be like, you convert or we're going to torture you. And the Jews back then were like, a lot of them just didn't, they were like, torture me. I'm like, I would be like, well, what religion do you want me to be? Just tell me. I'll fucking, well, I mean.
Right, right.
Would you even
Latvian
think
Latvian Orthodox?
If someone said torture or change your religion, would you even think for a second on
no,
that?
No, I would not even. I'd be like, all right, so when's Christmas? No, it'd be kind of like almost laughable how fast I would.
I know. I give those Jews credit, man, but still, I mean.
I don't know. Maybe if I was really in the position, but I do. I think it's funny when you see the people being tortured and. In these war movies, and they're just like, never.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, they arrest someone like, you're going to go to jail for 100 years unless you give up your friend. No way. That's why I thought it was so funny. That Tekashi 6ix9ine guy.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he was like in with the Bloods and then like literally right when he got there, he's like, yeah, I'll testify against all of them within like an hour of getting arrested. But then it's just, he's right though. He got out and he was like, well, what do you want me to do? Like, these guys tried to murder me. You want me to go to jail for 50 years to protect these fucking guys? Like, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Why is it supposed to be such a reputable or, you know, I don't know what the word is, you know, like it's virtuous. So frowned upon.
But it's not, though, because I've been watching a lot of, mafia documentaries and, you know, that they would have a code. You never rat on anyone. And you know who broke the code? All of them, all the time, every year, forever. So it was not really much of a code.
They did? That's why they always murder them, right? Because they know they're going to?
Yeah. But that was the thing, though. It's like they said from the start, we have a code. No one rats on anybody. And then that lasted about a year. And then everyone was just, you know. Yeah, sometimes they would kill them before they ratted, but... You know, this is supposed to be a code. You like they take a blood oath. Don't you can't rat on anyone, and they're just like, you know.
Why is it ratting? Were rats known for telling on their friends a lot when they did things?
Yeah, that's okay.
I know who ate the cheese. It was him. You rat. No, so that's why I think it's funny whenever you watch these mob TV shows or movies when whenever they get murdered, when they murder someone or someone gets murdered, like it's always like their best friend and they're always shocked. I can't believe like my best friend now is gonna murder me. It's like, but it's always the best friend that they murder. You know what I mean? They always end up getting murdered by whoever's closest to them. So I don't know why they're always shocked by it. You know?
Yeah. Not good to be in the mob.
Why are they at all shocked that anything bad is going on? What is this shit? I can't believe this. I joined the mob to get away from this violence and pettiness. I saw a movie. Yeah. I saw the He Said or She Said movie.
Oh, yeah. Was that good?
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
I like movies like that, like Spotlight and All the President's Men.
Yeah, yeah. She said the thing that was interesting about it is like it was good, but you know, it's funny because they do have movies like this where it's about like a big news story, and you know,
right.
Try
the
to
movie's
really,
about two reporters who uncover the Harvey Weinstein thing.
Yeah, and so they're trying to make it really compelling. They do this a lot of it, and it's basically they'll have to like really do a lot to make someone coming up with a news article and writing it look really like. Entertaining and compelling, like an action movie. Mm-hmm. And it's just really funny, like the lengths they go to, like with all these cuts and music. And it's basically she's just writing an article. So, right. That's not the most action packed, compelling thing to watch, but they really do a good job. Like they show her like typing like really fiercely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like, I'm sure like writing the article wasn't really that entertaining, but.
Well, usually in those movies too, they'll add this like moment of suspense, like in All the President's Men where, It's just basically them being reporters, but then they'll have a scene where they feel like they're being followed, or someone will call up their phone and not, you know, yeah, like,
there's a lot of that. Yeah. But it's also a lot of them like Googling and texting. So that has to be good. They're just like, you know, pressing their keyboard really hard. You're like, oh my God, what is she Googling? But it's good. It was better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I want to see that.
It was done really well. And yeah, I didn't realize what a, I mean, I knew he was a scumbag, but I guess that was kind of the problem. It was so kind of just like, it like kind of accepted. Remember how that was just kind of the perception of Hollywood when you're younger, which is kind of like, oh yeah, like if you're successful and famous, like you just can fuck everyone and that's it. Right. Not like rip, you know, it was just kind of like, oh yeah, like they'll just bang you.
Well, I think that's the problem why they had problems breaking through, you know, because everyone just thought, oh, it's the casting couch, but he was just raping people. So
I didn't realize. I mean, I knew there was something going on, but like, I didn't realize how violent it actually was. He really was. And there's an audio they play. I don't know if there was like a famous audio of him kind of trying to drag this woman.
Oh yeah, I heard that. So
he's basically like, he sounds so lame, but he's just like, just come in here for 5 minutes. And it's basically like, oh, that's what he would do. He would get them just to agree to go in there. And then it was over. Yeah. Fucking such a disgusting business, that whole fucking thing. And being like a woman in that business. Ugh.
Yeah. So we want to wrap it up.
Yeah. That was a good thing to end on.
Rape.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Please rate and review. Subscribe, and we'll see you next time. That was a good ending. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.